Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070. WKOK, Sean here, and Steve on his way into the Sunbury Motors studio. As we speak, Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. And since we were not with you yesterday on Monday, we'll mention our Monday sponsor, our great friends at Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Going to make sure you have the right policy for your needs and for your budget. And then when that time happens where you need that someone to go to bat for you, well, the people at Purdy, they'll act like it happened to themselves and not to you. And you want people like that in your corner. So check your policies. If it's time for an upgrade, you know, get what you have to get at a price you can afford. Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We've been mentioning our great friend Jerry Dulac from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I've been attempting to have Jerry back on the show. I heard from Jerry this morning. We will have him on this afternoon at 3:35. So we'll talk a little bit of golf with Jerry. Talk some Steelers football since minicamp wrapped up a few weeks ago. This is now kind of the quiet time in the NFL over the next close to a month or so. You'll hear about NFL training camps that will open up toward the end of July. And, of course, this fall, once again, we'll hear Jerry Dulac on 100.9 The Valley, part of the Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network pregame show. So we look forward to talking to Jerry in just a little bit in the next half hour.
And then Philip Pritchard coming up on Friday.
Yeah, for people who don't know who that is, he's like the blonde-haired guy who always has the white gloves, a.k.a. the keeper of the Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
Oh, if the cup if the cup could talk. I mean, we would probably need more than one segment with Philip to all the stories that he could share.
No question. I mean, there's a similar guy that we have in Danville who carries the Suits bowling trophy. All right, it's same thing.
Yeah, Philip has
no difference.
Philip has been spending a lot of time in Pittsburgh. Actually, we were exchanging messages, and he's going to be back in Pittsburgh next week. So before he heads back to the Berg, he's going to join us on Friday.
Very good. Let's get to off the top here, and then we're going to have Tim Kirchen on Monday. I hate to have Tim Kirchen be the throwaway line there. That's not right.
By the way,
Tim Kirchen is a gigantic deal. I mean, getting Tim is a gigantic deal. I love talking to him. He's one of the smartest guys out there, so I'm thrilled he's going to do it. But the Pritchard thing I just thought was so cool. I was like, wow, that's really cool. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just a totally – it's a kind of fun thing to do on a June 30th. Okay. There are a couple big stories that have come up today. Big stories. Supreme Court agrees to rule on sports betting. David Purdom, ESPN staff writer, writes, the U.S. Supreme Court announced today that it will hear New Jersey's appeal to offer legal sports betting, which they consider to be, and based on how it's gone in the courts, a surprising twist in the five-year battle. Remember, Chris Christie originally signed this bill in New Jersey. He has signed it twice, I believe, 12 and 14. Yep. they would be allowed to offer legal sports betting at casinos and racetracks and potentially jumpstart a state-by-state expansion across the nation. And the NCAA, the NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball have all been fighting this. The leagues have twice sued New Jersey Governor Chris Christie over this. New Jersey has lost literally every step of the way here. Every step of the way. Until today. And then today, they're going to get a hearing. Solicitor General Jeffrey Wall submitted an opinion advising the Supreme Court to pass on the case. The court normally follows the Department of Justice recommendations and didn't. Supreme Court will now take a close look at the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act of 1992, the federal prohibition on state-sponsored sports betting. Four states are allowed to have it: Montana and Oregon, neither of which participates, Nevada and Delaware. New Jersey could have, but they passed on it. The Supreme Court's expected to hear the case in the fall. In 2016, more than $4.5 billion was bet at Nevada sportsbooks. More states have expressed an interest in getting into the sports betting game, and they're going to watch this case very closely. Now, why would they do that? First of all right, let's be honest about how government works. Let's be very honest about it. Let's be very blunt about it. All right. Two states have liberal marijuana laws, Colorado and Washington State. Fair statement, Sean? Those two?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, why do you think they have it? Because they believe in civil liberty? Oh, no. They do everything for one reason and one reason only: for the money. Right? Those crops, sales, are taxed in those states. They're doing it for the tax revenue, not because they're so open-minded. They're doing it for the tax revenue. That's exactly why they would do this, sports betting. Okay, if the state controls it, who gets the control of the revenue out of it? Wait, there's not some high-minded purpose here. Well, we just think people should be allowed to do what they want to do. Okay, while it's on the surface, they're doing it for the cash. Government is very good at coming up with ways to find more ways to get money, which they then in turn dramatically overspend on various things. I mean, that's the bottom line on it. This is all about, we need more cash. Now, Frank Pallone is a representative. He says the citizens of New Jersey overwhelmingly support legalized sports betting and acted in a referendum to show that support, which is true. Both Congress and the Supreme Court should respect these actions. Rather than continuing to allow criminal and offshore entities to reap the benefits of illegal gambling, there's now an opportunity for the Supreme Court to allow the democratic process in New Jersey to appropriately regulate sports gaming. Now, State Senator Raymond Lesniak, who spearheaded the sports betting effort, believes the leagues will now be open to negotiate. He says, I believe that we may start talking turkey with the leagues. After years of being knocked down and getting up again to fight the NFL one more time, we're now on the brink of victory. Now, remember, they've lost every step of the way. But this is at least a huge step. The petition was granted. I think the bottom line is New Jersey is looking to somehow fill a revenue gap. That's what this is all about. Don't be confused by anything else. In the end, it may be something that you want to participate in and you want to do. That's perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with that. If it, as long as it's legal, that's perfectly fine. All right? But there is a bottom line to this. And the bottom line is New Jersey is doing this for the cash. Just like Colorado and Washington State when it came to the marijuana laws. Why do you think they're doing it? They want the cash. I mean, in the end, that's all they know how to do. All right? That's all they know how to do. And that's what this is about. Now, how does it affect you? That's the bottom line. How does it affect you? Well, could give you the opportunity to go to New Jersey to Sportsbook should they win. And it's not that far of a trip for you to be involved in to do it. It's your money. If that's what you want to do with it, perfectly fine. I always have a saying, there's a reason why the house wins. But that's just me. So, it's interesting. We'll see what they want to do. Remember, Adam Silver wrote that very interesting op-ed in the New York Times about sports gambling. His op-ed piece called for a federal framework that legalized sports betting. He said the NBA remained a plaintiff in the New Jersey case because it believes a federal framework is far more prudent than a state-by-state approach. Major League Baseball began to align itself with the NBA's position. The NFL and the NCAA remain publicly opposed to expanding legal sports gambling in the U.S. The NHL has been very quiet on the issue, even though they're apart with the others is saying they don't want it. But that's as far as they've gone, just by putting their name on the piece of paper. Now remember, too, we've talked about how often we talked about fantasy sports on this show. A lot. Not a little, a lot. There's a reason why I've done that, about FanDuel and DraftKings. I've talked a lot about it because, to me, that is the window of opportunity to open the door to sports betting. Personally, I would never gamble a dime. It's just not me. I've just never been like that. I mean, I've done basketball where I've stayed at a casino, and guess how much money I bet at the casino? Zero. It's just the way I am. It's just some people are just... I have no interest in it. All right? But that doesn't mean I don't think you might be interested in it. And if that's what you wish to do, and if you'd like, if a Steelers-Bengals game becomes a little more exciting because you have a few dollars riding on it, okay, so be it. That's your money. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money unless you would like to send it to the Human Fund. Care of Sean Carey. I try to help you out there. But I've talked about DraftKings and FanDuel a lot because, let's face it, it doesn't take a genius to figure out that it's still some sort of wager. And you have a lot of sports leagues have partnered, have been involved with, and made investments in FanDuel and DraftKings. Sports leagues are also increasingly partnering with data dissemination firms for gambling purposes overseas and line monitoring integrity deals. Right? They're doing all this. It's not like it's not already happening. And that's the point New Jersey's making. Instead of having the money go offshore, let the money stay here, which in turn would benefit the New Jersey budget. So that's a big, big story today. Okay. Next up, the breakdown on the money ESPN spends and the big hit that ESPN2 has taken in the ratings. Very interesting. So we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, we'll get back to the New Jersey sports gambling case in a moment because after losing and losing and losing and losing, they won today, and now they're going to get a hearing before the Supreme Court. That's huge. ESPN, we've talked about the rights fees that they have paid out over the years, and Jim Miller, I thought, was very kind when we had him on the show about our research, which is very, very good. John Oran, Sports Business Journal, brilliant piece on all of this. Brilliant piece. Now, listen to the rights fees they paid out. Then listen to something here at the end when it comes to the ratings of ESPN2. Australian Open's a 10-year deal goes through 2021, not available. BYU football, 8-year deal through 2018, no terms available. College football playoff, 12-year deal through 2025, $608 million a year, $7.3 billion total. Indy Car goes through 2018, no terms available. Major League Baseball, 8-year deal through 2021, $700 million a year, $5.6 billion total. MLS runs through 2022, $304 million total, $38 million a year. The NBA, of course, is the big one. 9-year deal through 2025, $1.4 billion a year, $12.6 billion total. The NFL, 8-year deal runs through 2021, $15.2 billion, $1.9 billion a year. Masters is a year-by-year deal. They never released the terms. U.S. Open Tennis Championship runs through 2025, an 11-year deal, $825 million total, $75 million a year. For Wimbledon, it's a 12-year deal through 2023. $480 million overall, $40 million a year. WNBA, done in conjunction with the NBA contract, 9-year deal through 2025 for $225 million, thus $25 million a year. American Athletic Conference, 7-year deal, $126 million total, $18 million a year, goes through the 2020 season. Atlantic Coast Conference, 20-year deal, runs through 2036, $240 million a year, $4.8 billion when it's all said and done. Big 12 Conference through 2025, 13-year deal, $100 million a year, $1.3 billion. Big 10, 6-year deal, $190 billion a year, $1.14 billion total goes through 2023. Mid-American Conference, $8 million a year, $104 million total through 2027. It's a 13-year deal. Pac-12 Conference, 12-year deal, runs through 2324, $1.5 billion total, $125 million per year. Southeastern Conference, 20-year deal through 2034, $6 billion total, $300 million per year. Okay, that's a lot of money. That's $7.2 billion per year in rights fees. Now, you notice what they've done programming-wise. You notice they've moved a couple of shows from ESPN2 to Big ESPN, which they kind of felt they had to do because they were trying to get people to watch. Well, it's really affected ESPN2. Listen to this. ESPN2 was number one in prime time when compared to Fox Sports 1 and NBC Sports Net. They were number one in prime time and total day viewing. Guess what? In prime time, ESPN2 has now fallen to third. Fox Sports 1, number one. NBC Sportsnet prime time, number two. ESPN2 is now number three. It's $7.24 per subscriber per month. In 2017, that fee increased to $7.89. Only 13 channels make more than 65 cents per subscriber per month. Four of them are Disney channels. ESPN, Disney Channel, $1.49. ESPN2 is 98 cents. And the SEC Network is 72 cents. Those are the top four. So ESPN is $7.89. The second most expensive channel in your cable is Disney at $1.49. That's $6.40 more. Remarkable.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They have served the Valley for decades. They will take care of your insurance needs, and if there's a claim, they'll act as if it happened to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The pros in insurance. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And speaking of a guy that falls into the definition of a true pro's pro, that is our old friend Jerry Dulac from Pittsburgh and the Post-Gazette. Jerry, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Well, Steve, thank you. You know, anything for a Penn State man, but I thought the segue was going to be a man who was humble. But you chose a pro's pro, and that's fine, too. Thank you.
I appreciate that very much. All right. I want to start with the Steelers, then I'll get to a little bit of golf, if that's okay.
You've written
some pretty good things in dealing with Carnell Lake about how the situation in the secondary is starting to take some shape. What were a couple of takeaways that you got from Carnell Lake that really may be eye-opening for Steeler fans?
Well, I think the first thing before we get to Carnell Lake is that I think people forget how improved the secondary was last year. It just gets clouded by what happened in New England at the end of the year. And so then the secondary was open for criticism. I think the other part of that is the lack of pressure. And so that, to me, that is a bigger culprit than the play in the secondary. So, but there's no question. I think the biggest objective in the offseason, and this is what they learned in New England, is that they have to be able to play man coverage better and more frequently than they do. And when they went to it in New England, people think they didn't, despite what announcers were saying, they did. And whenever they did, Tom Brady just picked them apart. And then it became, you know, pick your poison. How do you want to get picked apart, with man coverage or zone coverage? But every time they went to man, it just blew up in their face. So they just went and stuck with zone and tried to make it work, and it just didn't. So that's their objective in the offseason, to find players, to draft players who can play man coverage. That's what they did with both of the corners they took in the draft. If they were going to draft a safety, it would have been the same prerequisite, guys who can play man coverage. That's the biggest focus defensively during the offseason. That and improving pressure. You know, the Steelers believe that you can have Darrell Revis and Richard Sherman back there, but if you can't get pressure on the quarterback, the elite quarterbacks, are going to pick you apart. It doesn't matter who's back there if you don't get pressure. And they just don't apply consistent pressure. Oh, they have a nice amount of sacks, but they don't have that guy or guys off the edge who are going to strike fear in the other team's tackle and or quarterback. And I think that, to me, is the biggest missing piece in that defense. Now, that's why they drafted T.J. Watt, and they're certainly hoping that maybe not immediately, you know, maybe there's a little grooming period here, but eventually, maybe by midseason, late in the season, he can be that guy, and then heading into 2018, who can be that disruptive player off the edge.
What did you think of Burns and Davis in their respective development in the secondary as you watched them last year?
Well, I think what you can see, one, you could tell Sean Davis is a football player. And the thing that you saw with Artie Burns is he has a very good skill set. So you had two young kids who, they didn't get their promotion by way of injuries to the starting lineup. They earned them by their play. And you saw them develop, and I think going forward, that's a big plus for that defense. That Carnell Lake unsolicited singled out Artie Burns, speaking of man coverage, for being excited about what they see from him so far, transitioning to, again, more man coverage. It's not going to be predominant. They just want to use it more than they have so they can become diverse. So I think they're excited about both those players heading into year two. And you could just see instinctively and everything else, Sean Davis is a football player, and he's very good. I think that's why, you know, they're kind of eager to head into this year. But they're still, you know, this is where they were hoping Senquez Golson would fit in. Now it's, you know, I think Cam Sutton can surprise people, their third-round pick, and they're hoping he can be their nickelback and then eventually, you know, transition to you know, that other outside corner spot. So, but with those two players, those two guys from last year's draft, you got a nice head start on, you know, taking a big step to improving that secondary.
Golson's never played a down. I found it interesting as to what they were saying about what role he could potentially play. That has to be frustrating when you spend a second rounder on and the guy doesn't play a down in 2 years.
Yeah, and I think you could read between the lines there, Steve. When they say he's going to have to make this roster on special teams, that's not exactly a positive sign for him. They're not exactly holding out a lot of hope that he can do it. But when you say something like that, you know, it just doesn't bode well for him. Now, they'll see when they get to camp and when they get to when they put the pads on. But I think, you know, they're not dumb. They can see from OTAs the things that they're looking for, maybe the quickness, the change of pace, the ability to cut. You know, he's coming off a Liz Frank injury, and so that's the other thing that's bothersome. Carnell Lake even said that they want him to work on his speed before training camp. Well, if he doesn't have it by now, Steve, I don't think in 6 weeks he's going to find it, and I just think he has an uphill battle ahead of him. And you're right, it is frustrating. It's a shame. The guy has very good cover skills, but you know I think it's a long shot for Sanquez Golson. But we'll see once they get to camp.
All right, you were mentioning about the pressure. I mean, there are certain games last year, Jerry, as you know, where the Steelers could get some sacks in bunches based on matchups and so forth. But it seemed like it wasn't there, as you point out, consistently. Are they seeing it in personnel? Are they seeing it in a change of scheme? Where are they seeing where they can get better, more consistent pressure?
I think it's with personnel, Steve. You know, last year and year before, one of the things they did under Keith Butler is they went to more of a one-gap scheme. Then they did that to take advantage of their young, aggressive, athletic guys up front, in particular Cam Hayward and Stephon Tuitt. And it's no surprise that those guys have been their sack leaders the last 2 years. And so now you have Cam Hayward, who missed 10 games last year, done for the season. He will be back. And now you have Bud Dupree, their number one pick from 2 years ago, who missed the first 10 games of the year on the PUP list with that groin injury, sports hernia injury. He'll be back. So, you know, of course, you keep your fingers crossed that they'll stay healthy, but just having those two guys, Cam Hayward, their best defensive lineman and best pass rusher, now you pair him with Stephon Tuitt, who's a stud, and if Bud Dupree, that they were hoping to see that improvement from year one to year two, well, I don't want to say year two was a washout, because he was able to come back and play and get some time and contribute. And you saw it in the postseason. So they're eager to see where Bud Dupree is now, you know, heading into, you know, what has basically been a year and a half now, heading into year two to three. So I think it's more a personnel thing, that they feel that they have the people now, throw in T.J. Watt, and, you know, and they'll see what they have. And the other thing, too, this young nose tackle, you know, you're talking about Artie Burns and Sean Davis. Javon Hargrave, you know, their third-round pick last year, by the end of the year, this is a squat guy, Steve, who has a very quick first step and can be disruptive and be a bit of a pass rusher in the middle. So I think from a personnel standpoint, they believe that they have the people. You know, they don't have a Von Miller. We'll see what happens with T.J. Watt. I'm not saying he's going to be Von Miller. But they feel they have people up front with their front three guys and Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt going forward that can be guys who, you know, somewhat consistently get pressure on the pocket and, you know, disrupt the passing game.
How do you see the Le'Veon Bell situation playing out?
Well, you know, the ideal thing would be, obviously, for them to sign him to a long-term contract. One, right, because you have him under contract, and two, it'll actually be less of a salary cap hit for him this year than it would be with the franchise tag. It's hard for me to predict, because I don't know where Le'Veon Bell's mind is, and by that I mean I'm not sure what he wants to do. And of course, you can interpret that the other way too. Ideally, they would like to sign him. One thing, you know, when people ask one of the things the Steelers do, Steve, is they make sure that they retain their core guys. They make sure they keep the guys who are the best at their position on the team. Now you're talking about a guy just like Antonio Brown, who is probably the best at his position in the NFL. They're not going to let him walk away. And so, you know, the question then would become, how much money does Le'Veon Bell want, and how committed is he to, you know, respecting the Steelers enough to, you know, want to sign with them, take their money, as opposed to seeing if he can get, you know, however many more million per year from another team. But the Steelers can always franchise him again. They don't want him to walk away. They're not going to let him walk away. So, you know, a lot of it's going to be up to Bell. But from a Steelers standpoint, you know, they don't want him to leave. They want to keep him. The other thing I will say about the franchise tag, though, Steve, is that, you know, Le'Veon Bell has two suspensions on his resume. And so even though the second one was because he was unaccountable, that isn't going to matter next time. If he's unaccountable again, he's going to get a longer suspension. So you can't, you know, now this maybe gives you a little bit of time under the franchise tag to see if he is going to be responsible and accountable and make sure he takes, you know, these random drug tests because of that incident, you know, where he got caught with marijuana in the car with LeGarrette Blount. And that was the downside from his standpoint, you know, to that whole incident, is now he was going to be tested frequently. And you saw what happened. He missed one, yeah, and he got suspended.
Jerry, I have to just take a quick turn to golf here because it's a favorite topic of both yours and mine. They've gone non-traditional Chambers Bay, traditional of all traditional in Oakmont, and then non-traditional in Erin Hills. How do you think the non-traditionals have worked out versus the traditional?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the non-traditional, Steve. The good news to me is that they go to a Shinnecock and Wingfoot two of the next 3 years, and the other one is Pebble Beach, even though that's a public slash resort style course, but it has a lot of history. I'm not a big fan, and I discovered this in 2002 when I went to Bethpage Black for that U.S. Open, and while the golf course is good and it's hard, you know, to me, the concept was, you know, you want to take the U.S. Open to the, quote, public, to the people. And the atmosphere there, it's in a state park, Bethpage Black. So when you drive in and when you're around the property before you get to the golf course, you know, I always like to say, Steve, it's like you're at a pig roast. I mean, it's a different atmosphere. There's no charm. There's no history. There's no nostalgia. And to me, you know, that, of course, is the beauty of the Masters. That is the charm and the mystique and the historical significance of the British Open. It's going back to the places where history was created. So to me, if it were up to me, you know, if I were king, I or president of the USGA and had the clout, I would develop a five-course rotation like the British Open. I know they use seven, but to me, it would be Oakmont, Marion, Olympic Club, Wingfoot, and Shinnecock. Now, you can throw in maybe Pebble, maybe Pinehurst, you know, something else if somebody wants to debate the point, Oak Hill. But to me, because of the history with those five golf courses, that's what I like. That's what I prefer for U.S. Open. As golf courses, I'd love to play Chambers Bay. I haven't. I'd love to play Erin Hills. It looked fantastic on television. It was it just showed itself tremendously on TV. But, you know, 16 under par, to me, that was a PGA championship golf course. That was better suited for a PGA, not a U.S. Open. A U.S. Open, to me, Steve, is about not making mistakes, where you try to minimize your mistakes. Well, at Erin Hills, if you made a mistake, you just thought, oh, well, I'll go make birdie or even eagle in some instances, as we saw. And that's just not a U.S. Open to me. So that was my complaint about it. The golf course itself, I think, like I said, it just looks fantastic. I just don't think it should be a U.S. Open venue.
See, I completely agree with that answer all the way through. I think this is golf's national championship. So what is the separator? Well, the separator is the fairways have to be narrower. The rough has to be a bit tougher. You have to be really precise on all how many you take, 280, 282 shots, whatever. You have to be precise on all of them. To me, that's what separates that tournament from other tournaments. That's just my opinion as someone who's either covered it or watched it.
Well, I agree with you, Steve, and I think the other problem here going forward is we saw Aaron Hills play almost 7,700 yards. Now, it can be stretched to its max at 8,300 yards, but I'm telling you, it will not be too far down the road where we start seeing the 8,000-yard course. And the problem there is it doesn't matter how long the golf course is. At 7,700 yards, not one person in that field complained how long it was. You had five par fours over 500 yards. You had two par fives that were well over 600 yards. And length wasn't even an issue. Rocco Mediate said to me years ago, if you build a hole from here to Chicago, they'll find a way to birdie it. The longer you build it, the farther they'll hit it. And that's just what's going to happen. So, you take courses like, Marion and create some angles and you put the rough up. It doesn't have to be about length. It needs to be about shot making. And, I just don't think this U.S. Open, and with all due respect to Brooks Koepka, who deserved everything he got, the Open is about trying to identify the best player. And in this case, it was I'm not saying that didn't happen, but the venue itself didn't lend itself to identifying the best player.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks so much, Jerry. It's great to hear from you again.
Steve, it's always good to chat with you, and anytime I enjoy chatting with you. I enjoy talking to you.
Jerry Dulac, outstanding as always. Great to have him with us. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I could talk golf with him or Steelers with him for hours and hours. But we have rules here, and part of the rules are we have to go to a commercial break. So we'll come back. We can't do the hours and hours thing. So we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Imagine getting behind the wheel and looking forward to your journey ahead. If when you turned your car on, it did the same for you. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury has the full 2017 Lincoln lineup ready to invigorate your driving experience with affordable American luxury. Well-qualified buyers can take advantage of $4,000 cash back and 0% for 72 months on the luxurious 2017 Lincoln Navigator. Or lease a new 2017 Lincoln MKX all-wheel drive for $363 per month for 36 months. Sunbury Motors Lincoln is your destination for affordable American luxury. Located in Sunbury in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit. Lease based on stock number LB738, 10,000 miles per year and $3,900 total due at signing. Zero security deposit, tax and fees extra.
Offer ends 757.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PurdyInsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Tempted to ask Philip Pritchard, who's the keeper of the Stanley Cup, whether he'd be willing to carry someone's bowling trophy for a week. Shine it up.
He told me this morning when he's going to join us this Friday that he may be in transit. So, of course, the first question could be, do you currently have the cup in the trunk?
Of the vehicle? Yes, I think we may have to ask him that. And if there's a bowling trophy next to it.
Riding shotgun.
Right. Now, for those of you who don't know, that say, for example, you have a bowling trophy, right? Say you rolled a 298 in your life. It makes a great planter. A message from this station and the ad council.
Not to be confused with the old school clawfoot bathtub.
Absolutely.
Which some have used for that same purpose.
Yes. Matt Leon, next half hour. Also, Chris Mack from the... So we're going to go Philadelphia with Matt Leon. Then we're going to come back and go Pittsburgh with Chris Mack on the show today. Let's keep things moving. Really, it makes a great planter. Some Miracle-Grow, some potting soil. You know, probably has handles on each side so you can lift it up and move it someplace, like when company comes over. What a great planter. That's my bowling trophy. Oh, is that the one where you missed two pins in the last frame? Yes, it is.
But because of that, adds a great splash of color to the room.
As you see, notice that when I was running down the contracts, the Indy contract runs out at the end of next year. What will the suit do?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.